Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren is emphasizing that the Bible is the most important thing in a believer's life. He gets a call from Gil, who is struggling with his faith. Darren tells him that Jesus is Lord of his body as well as Lord of his spirit, and he must receive the revelation that he was healed and receive that anointed revelation now. He explained to Gil that most believers don't know Holy Spirit and don't count him as a friend or revealer of the mysteries in 1 Corinthians 4:1. Darren quotes Hebrews 10:20-22, that Jesus is your great high priest who has entered through the veil, not on a basis of physical requirements, but according to the power of an indestructible life. Now let's join the program.
We receive some phenomenal supernatural mail from people saying, your show blesses me. I'm glad you're on the air every day. Well, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun too, because the rewards are there. And when we see the Word of God begin to work in your life, and you know that, and you begin to hear the Word of God in your heart, and you begin to hear the voice of God, and He begins to direct your life, and you know that, I mean, it's a conscious participation with the Most High God. That's exciting for us, because that's payoff. That's pay dirt for we as Bible teachers. So we practice the Word all the time. We praise the Lord. In fact, yesterday afternoon, I had some extra time, and I went out, and I there's a park not very far from our house, and I went to the park, and I just parked the vehicle, and I tilted the seat back, and I spent quite a bit of time praising the Lord. I mean, I came out of there with my spiritual battery charged. That's the way it works, folks. We really need to praise Him. Let's talk to Gil on line one. How you doing, Gil?
Good morning, sir. Well, I'm about half throttle, getting over the bug.
Is that right?
Lost my voice for 3 days.
What kind of bug?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't go to the doctor, but just worded out, I'm able to talk anyway this morning.
That's good.
I don't know if you remember, but I'm the dude a while back that said I'm the guy that was only married 2.5 years and didn't even get a chance to get in the shower with my wife.
I think I remember that.
Okay,
let me review that. You said you were married 2.5 years, you never even got in the shower with your wife?
That's right.
Why did you want to take a shower with her?
Well, I just thought maybe that's one of the things a guy wanted to do, but I never got around to it.
I see. Was that your fault or hers?
I think it was mine, mainly.
Okay, how come?
Just didn't think of it.
Oh, I see, okay.
Anyway, we prayed at that time over my left hip, and it's due for surgery, and it didn't take, I guess, the healing that we prayed for. Maybe, in the Bible says all things, there's a season. Maybe I'm not in season.
Well, what kind of surgery are you going for? Are you going for hip replacement?
Yeah.
How old are you?
66.
Okay. Well, it's up to you. I've seen a lot of them healed.
Maybe I need to come down to Denver when you're meets, huh?
Well, probably wouldn't hurt. I've prayed for people that had artificial hips. In fact, I prayed for a farmer back in Kansas one time. I was on a country western station back there for quite a while. In Salina, I was on KFRM there. Quite a station. And this farmer had called me. He said, I've got an artificial hip, and this thing is killing me. And so I assume it was plastic, but anyway, we prayed and God took all the pain out of there. But
well,
and I've also prayed for a lot of hips and a lot of rotator cups in the shoulder and watched God just heal those in a marvelous fashion.
Well, so, I have days where I think maybe the healing's starting, and then the next day or two I couldn't hardly walk. So it was a yo-yo kind of experience ever since 2 months ago.
Well, I'll tell you, Gil, very honestly, shooting from the hip, I think you're just trying it. You need to get to the point in the scripture where you know that you know that you know.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do. Maybe I've got a fistful of keys and don't know which one to use, right?
That's a good illustration. That is a good one. You know, I've said that for a number of years, that sometimes we throw the key ring at people, you know, the whole Bible, and say, the answer's in there somewhere, and the guy's saying, where? And which key, and or which two or three keys do I use? But I believe for myself that it's a matter of, number one, getting to an authority position in the Scripture, and to where you know that you know that you know there's two kingdoms out there. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light.
Yes.
As believers, we're in the kingdom of light.
Yes.
But we need to even press into that, to where we know that our Heavenly Father, the King of Light, Jesus, His Son, has more power, more authority than the dark side.
That I know.
Okay.
Just trying to
now, but if you apply that to disease and disorder in the body, then we go back to the inception. Like, where did this stuff start? Where did it come from? And if we dig back there far enough, and I'm trying to use words here to describe that, but if we dig back there far enough, we'll find out that Jesus Christ is Lord, and one of the things He defeated on the cross are the things that you're suffering from.
Yes, I believe that too.
Okay. So sometimes if I look, for example, at a virus or at a bug, as you were saying when you first came on, I say, all right, how can we smother that bug with power and authority greater than that thing that came out of the out of darkness and kill it? And what right does that have to exist in my body? Then I think when we make those determinations and we stand there and we just say, I'm not giving into this thing because I have, in the name of Jesus, more authority than this thing has to attack my body. And I think when we really know that we know beyond any question, and I believe that's at the point when we start seeing a lot of divine healing take place, then we're cooking.
There's a fellow down in Colorado Springs that's got a ministry, and his name's Womack.
Right, I know him.
He claims that if you're born again, you're also healed. Well, do I doubt my born-again situation?
Well, I wouldn't.
No, but I'm not healed either.
Well, I believe this, that, you know, our imaginations, for example, are for a reason. And I believe when we can imagine that hip, and I, for example, I asked God several years ago, basically what I was asking Him for was a symbolic language. And now, for some of our listeners, I'm going to say this is not New Age, it's not automatic writing, it's not any of that weird stuff. I want to give all the glory we do here to the name of Jesus and the power of the blood.
Yes.
And the power of the word.
Yes.
So if I use a little different terminology than some are used to, but if you think about in your mind, we can all imagine things. And if I imagine an hip socket and I look at it in a spirit and I say, what does it look like when it has disorder or disease? Well, for me, it's like a spirit. It's like an X-ray, much like a medical X-ray. And I look at that thing and it may be have darkness in it. And then I say to the Lord, what would it look like if that was healed and if it was perfect? Most of the time I see that as light, white light, sometimes like a highway flare, you know, that's just that phosphorus that's burning. It's just brilliant white. And you can hardly, you know, it's so bright you can hardly look at it. Well, I asked the Lord, okay, now how do I get that hip from that X-ray of darkness to an X-ray of light? And the Lord has said to me, well, why don't you visualize or focus or meditate on and see that hip with nothing but light there? Now, then I relate that to Scripture in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So for me in that healing scenario, that's going to be my substance. I'm going to hang on to that vision or that imagination or that meditation. And that's very, very honestly how I pray for people for healing. I say, God, what would that look like if it was healed? And then I pray that. I say, all right, thank you, Lord. I'm going to move that, what I see in my imagination, I'm going to move that to that hip and thank you for that and praise you for that. Now, it took a while to train myself to do that, but basically, Gil, that's the way I pray for healing.
I see.
Now, if some guy, in fact, a man here in the building said, I have a migraine headache, well, I can usually see those in the spirit. And I believe that's a spiritual gift. You could call that a word of knowledge or something like that. And I say, God, what would that look like if that black band just above his eyebrows was gone? Well, it looked light. So then I say, all right, Lord, that's what we want. And I'm going to put my faith on it in this dimension we call the natural world and believe this fellow to be healed. And I would say to him at the same time, is that what you want? You want to be healed? And then I'd say to God, why does he have a migraine? In fact, this just happened about 3 days ago. He said, well, he's got a pinched nerve in his back. He's been under stress. So I prayed for him. God took the stress away. God healed his back, and his head got well.
That figures.
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's pretty, you can almost reason that through. But that's kind of the way I approach healing, Gil. I don't know if that helps you, but.
I got one Christian brother. He says, well, what do you think God provided surgeons for?
Well, very honestly, if it wasn't for doctors, most Christians would be dead.
Yeah, it's true, too.
I mean, it's kind of sad to say. That's kind
sort of like a
terse comment. That's not.
I just don't know which way to go.
That's not original with me, but I would just say that what we have to do, and like, you know, the cough that you're experiencing, with the Lord, I just say, Lord, I want to praise you, and I want you to fill my throat, my chest cavity, and my nasal passages with light. And I want you to drive out the darkness, because the word says Jesus is the light of the world.
Yes.
Now, again, I'm not talking about the occult.
No.
When they say light, mm-hmm. you know, divine light,
I
you know, some
it.
Of those weird things. We're talking here about the light of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I can tell you this, light heals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they try to get at that with some radiation therapy, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a much lower dimension and application. And when Jesus... In fact, when Jesus was the creator of all things, it tells that in Colossians chapter 1 that he created all things by, for, and basically out of or through himself. Well, when God spoke in Genesis 1 and said, let there be light, that's not sunshine. That's power and energy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, now I believe that's what heals us.
Yes.
And in 1 Corinthians 4:1, I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you here, but it says we're stewards of the mysteries and of the secret counsel of God. And most people have never gotten to know the Holy Spirit well enough to see him be their research helper. And one description of him in Scripture is that he's a divine paraclete. In other words, he's the one that comes alongside to help us. And in 1 Corinthians, you might spend some time today, Gil, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite scriptures, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. But it talks about the mysteries. We need to know the mysteries, and to me that's hidden knowledge that can be revealed to us. So I would be asking God today, I'd say, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to give me mysteries about healing and about deliverance. Why do I have this thing? What spirits are in operation here that keeps me down with this hip here? And is there any fear? Is there any doubt? Is there any unbelief in my heart that allows this thing to remain? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 10, now let me just share that with you a minute.
Okay.
I guess this is your nickel, huh?
I'm calling from my private phone.
Okay. I mean, are you in Denver?
Yes. No, I'm on Greeley.
Okay.
Yeah, Greeley.
Okay, well, that's why I say
I'm sorry.
I say it's your nickel.
Yeah.
All right. Hebrews 10, verse 19. I'll read this to you. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Now in Hebrews 7 it says, this high priest Jesus was appointed by the power of indestructible life. That power of indestructible life can heal you. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Then in verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When I get into a dogfight with the devil, and I believe he is the one that sends all disorder and all disease.
Sure.
I don't believe it's out there in no man's land. There's no such thing as, you know, it's either in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. I believe that we can say, in fact, I practice this, I'd say it like this. I'll say, Jesus, I'm having a struggle here, and I don't know about my subconscious or the deepest part of my thought life, whatever you call that, and I don't have the privilege of taking my heart out and examining it and to see what's there. So I'm asking you by faith to sprinkle my heart and my mind and my emotions with the sprinkled blood of Jesus, like it's talking about here in Hebrews 10.
Yes.
I'm asking you to wash me clear and clean and totally of any fear, doubt, or unbelief. Because those are the things that keep us down.
Oh.
Now, it may, since I've been in church all my life, I've heard some things in church, like when I was young and 3, 4, 5 years old, that may stick in there. Maybe it was a sermon I heard from somebody that was just blowing and going, and there was some unbelief in their sermon. For example, I've heard pastors say this even over radio. The great leveler of mankind, cancer took that person down. Well, now, if you heard that in your young formative years, that may be way back there in that inventory of your thought life. And you may think, well, if cancer ever hits me, well, I've got to lay down and die because nobody gets over cancer. In fact, I had a friend die of that. And I really believe that in his formative years, in his church, and it was a church of unbelief, by the way, when it came to healing, I believe that's what got him.
And does that mean he's a weak Christian?
That means he's an ignorant Christian.
Oh.
I would say that he just not, he didn't know that he had to. See, I believe that when you get over cancer is before you ever get it. See, I have instructed, I've talked to my body. I've said, I've instructed every cell, you will not receive cancer.
This man Womack down south claims he's never even taken an aspirin.
I believe that. I believe Andy. He's a great Bible teacher. He's a great Bible teacher.
I don't think I can count the pills I took.
Well, I can't remember the last time I took an aspirin. Sometimes I know when I've overworked and I'm tired, Barb will say to me, do you want to take an Alky? And I just, boy, that just violates my spirit. I just said, no, I don't want to take that dumb stuff. I just don't like that stuff. I'm just not into pills. And so I really try to get by without any of that stuff. But I have to admit, sometimes, maybe once a year, I will take an Alka-Seltzer that will cause me to relax so I can go to sleep. Sometimes I get really wound. I mean, I get really cold.
Sometimes I use I.W. Harper.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. But
that's hard stuff.
Yeah, well, whatever.
But I don't anymore.
Yeah,
there was a time when I thought that was the best relaxer there was.
Yeah. Well, there's a scripture in the Old Testament where God prepared a meal for Moses and 70 elders. But before they could go into God's presence, they had to be sprinkled by the blood. And that's what's carried out here in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can, by faith, receive righteousness and then walk into God's presence without getting toasted.
Dude, aren't Christians more or less appointed to suffer some on this earth?
I don't think so.
Oh.
See, I think that's one of those things that's been put on us. But how complete, and this is something you might study, how complete was the sacrifice of Jesus?
Oh, very.
Yeah, but see, you say that, but in your heart you don't believe that.
Oh, yes.
No, you don't, because you just asked me.
I'd die before I'd relent.
Well,
I mean,
would you die before you go to surgery?
I don't quite understand the question.
Okay, well, you say, I ask you.
I'd die before I'd, what words should I use? Take back, in other words, admit unbelief.
Okay, but let's see, if you really had belief, see, if you really believed that nothing was impossible for God, would you be going to surgery?
Well, that's what I'm hanging on to right now. But it's getting to the point where I can't hardly walk. I got to draw a line here pretty soon.
All right. Well, where's the line going to be? See, that, and I know I'm challenging you here, but I'm doing this for a reason.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to be mean about it or say, hey, I'm a hot dog and you're not. I'm not trying to say that. But a lot of times with pastors and word teachers, we don't have the chance to sit down and just duke it out with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of times when I've said, boy, I wish that guy teaches a level of understanding that he hasn't told me the process on how to get there. And it just bugs me.
Yeah, yeah, I've been in that web that I can't sort it out and to understand what the guy is shooting at.
Well, sometimes, see, they have a revelation that is a great revelation for them. But I don't have it yet. I want to know, how did you get there? How did you get to that level of faith?
Right, right.
And I'd like to sit down with them and say, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me how to take dominion over the devil, but you haven't told me how to get there. I see things that are going on in your life and your ministry that I can't yet reach or achieve. How did you get there?
Yeah, I'm like a guy going to battle with an empty clip.
Okay. Well, here's what I'd say. I'd sit down with Scripture, and I'd start going through the Gospel of John, for example. And let me tell you, Gil, I've been there where I sit down and say, all right, now, here you tell me, Jesus, that in John chapter 14, verse 13, you said, this is printed and read in my Bible, so I'm going to believe that you said this. You're quoted Jesus as saying, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All right, Jesus, now I'm talking in your name. I'm praying in your name. I'm praying to you and I'm praying to the Father. Now, not only that, in the next verse it says, you said this, Jesus, and I talk very personally to him. I talk as if he was sitting at the table with me, having a cup of coffee with me. I say, now, Jesus, you said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus, here's this hip here that's killing me. I don't want to go to surgery. I want you to heal it. Now, how do I get there? Because your word here says, if I ask you, you'll do it. And so far, you haven't done it. Why haven't you done it? Am I doing something that keeps you from doing it?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think there's something I'm not doing on my part.
Well, but I'd ask him. Mm-hmm. See, and I believe that's what the ministry of Holy Spirit's about.
Okay.
In fact, if you take 1 Corinthians 2, are you running out of money yet?
No, I got to turn the page here and start writing.
Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, well, it's only 50 miles. It shouldn't cost
no
you
problem.
A fortune. Yeah, it's probably nighttime rate anyway.
That's foolishness.
Okay. But here in 1 Corinthians 2:12 it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, and that's a small s, so it's talking there about the devil. So we didn't receive the devil, but we received the Spirit, capital S, which means Holy Spirit. That's the way it's printed in Scripture. But the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And I believe one of those is divine healing. Now, in your case, you may be asking for not only divine healing, you may be asking for a creative miracle.
Would that be bad?
No.
No.
No, see, I mean, why limit God?
No, don't want to do that.
See, he made your carcass in the first place.
Right. Nothing like the original equipment.
Right, okay, but not only that, Gil, he made you in his image and likeness.
Right.
So if we start thinking about that now, in two verses previous, in 1 Corinthians 2:10, and it's talking here about mysteries. It's been talking, in fact, in verse 7, it says, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. See, God wants his children really to show his glory on the earth. And I honestly, we don't do that, Gil, if we're sick and we're broken down and whatever. We look just like the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And we shouldn't. They ought to be able to look at us and say, well, yeah, how come you guys, you aren't sick like the rest of us?
Yeah, got a little Chinese acquaintance that she says she's never been sick. I says, how in the heck is that possible? She says, I just never get sick. She runs outside with a wet head and it's two below zero and never catch cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's testing Mother Nature, isn't she?
Oh, she's pushing the limit, but she never gets sick.
Well, now here's one for you. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, for who among, well, talking again about the mysteries, verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And then it goes on to say, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. See, I know this, that Holy Spirit can go and will go, when asked and believed, into the depths of God's mind and bring us answers. Back, matter of fact, it's bring us mysteries. Do you have a prayer language, Gil?
Well, I don't understand the term, but I pray.
Okay. Well, that's like praying in the Spirit. That's like letting Holy Spirit pray through you.
And I don't think I can't say yes or no. I don't quite know.
Okay, well, if you don't know, you probably don't have one.
Okay.
Well, let me give it to you this way. In Jude, verse 20, it says, praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith.
Okay.
All right, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying mysteries. And very honestly, a lot of people never get to that point to where they can reach beyond the reason or beyond the intellect. Do you follow me?
Uh-huh.
So they're only limited to what they've been told, only limited to what they can think, what they can reason out.
I'm running on 110. I should be 220.
Exactly. Okay. Now, if we take in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciples, he was kind of testing them. He was trying to get them to think. And Jesus had a brilliant revelation of questions. He could ask and get so much information just in a question. But he said, you know, who do people say that I am? And they talked to him. They said, well, some say you're Elijah, some Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. But who do you say? And he made it personal to the disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, but my Father who is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church. Now, that's not upon Peter. That's upon revelation knowledge. See, that's knowledge revealed beyond, above reason.
So I made that acknowledgement in my prayers, too.
Okay. Well, I have a two-tape series.
Okay.
Called Tongues, That's Where the Power Is. And that's what I believe you ought to go for. If you want to do this...
Teach me a foreign language?
Well, he will give you a heavenly language.
Oh.
You know, see, I was raised totally against that stuff.
Oh.
And about 20 years ago, I hit the wall, and I was up. I had lots of problems in the ministry, and I finally said, you know, I was trying to do it all without that. Finally, I said, God, what is this? And I said, send somebody that's, you know, that I can respect. And he sent Colonel Speed Wilson, a retired Marine, out of the Pentagon to talk to me. And Colonel Speed had, I think, command of 20,000 Marines in Vietnam. He was an awesome man. And he sat down and explained. He said, here's what you're looking for. And I asked for that. And about 3 weeks later, he gave me a heavenly language, which was really, really wonderful.
Well, I'll get the tapes.
Okay, hang on. We'll get your address, Gil, and we'll get them.
I was donated to the Dump Boys. And
good.
And I am reborn. I've invited Christ in my heart, and I've done everything I can think to do.
Well, I tell you, I've got about 60 seconds left. Let me pray for you.
Very good, sir.
Stay on the line. We'll get your address and make sure I've got it accurately, okay?
Right.
Father, I thank you for Gil today, and I pray and ask that you would teach him Scripture and lead him step by step into a deeper relationship with you so he can avoid this surgery and go for heavenly surgery. And you can just heal him today. And I thank you for that. I believe you're going to open up the door of his mind and his heart so he doesn't have to go on suffering with this. Now, thank you, Jesus. You're not only our Lord and Savior, but our healer and our deliverer. Amen.
Amen.
Hang on, Gil.
Yes.
All right. God bless you, brother. Appreciate the call.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in